Are we having fun today?
Yes.
All right, good. Everyone is happy? Excelente. All right, I'm going to talk to you today about some of my personal tips on productivity, how to stay productive, but also how to deal with information overload. Too much information coming into your life. I think that the more technology that we see in our lives, the more stress we see in our lives. But I also think that there are some aspects of being a computer person that no one talks about. We suffer in silence, and we think that we have to know everything. We work late, and we get up early, and we don't spend time with our children so that we can write software that takes a text box and takes some data and puts it in the text box. And that's why you don't see your kids. So how do we deal with those things? How do we deal with the pressure of bosses and technology and trying to know everything? And how do we talk about it as a community in an honest way? Okay? By the way, sometimes when I give this talk, there are bosses sneaking in. So you may have a boss next to you. Might have a suit, a manager type, who snuck in to spy on you. And sometimes they don't agree with me. So I want you to realize that this is a toolbox. It's a box of tools. Take the tools that work for you and your company and your life and throw the tools away that you don't need. Okay? It's not a system. It's a lot of small things that I made my system. I want you to make it your system. Okay? So I'm Scott. And here is Darth Vader riding on a cat. I just want to make sure you're paying attention. All right. There will be a test later. I am very old, and I have been doing software for a very long time, 25 years. Some of you may be 25. These shoes are 25. So I have a lot of experience, and what a lot of experience means is not that I'm better than you or that I have more success than you. It means that I have failed a lot in 25 years. If you're 25 years old, I have failed like twice your life. I've been failing. But the trick is to fail fast and fail often. Because when you fail, you can look back on that failure, and you can change it. And that's the system that I'm building here today. I have built software for things like the Palm Pilot. When I became diabetic, I have diabetes. I made a system for managing diabetes. And I was very excited when we had color. This is a very big difference. I had 4K, 4 kilobytes on this Palm Pilot. So I find it funny when the 25-year-olds complain about their, oh, it's only 8 gigabytes, 4K. I've written about being a phony. You know about a phony? It's an imposter. We feel like imposters sometimes at our jobs. And the stress of being productive, the stress of working hard. But no one tells their coworker that. You don't turn to your coworker and you say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I know how to Google with Bing really well. And I copy-pasted from Stack Overflow today. We don't talk about those things. Yeah, people used to talk about that, but we're afraid now because we're afraid we'll lose our jobs. But I do a lot of things on the internet. I talk about my children in my home office. This is my son. He's ignoring the light that says Daddy is on a call. I talk about teaching children electronics. I talk about square foot gardening for programmers. Because we have to do it a certain way. Making my own arcade. You can go up on my, if you see this in the streets, if you see, take it. If you see a broken arcade on the streets, steal it. You can paint it and put a computer inside. It's super fun. I made this in a few weekends. It's not hard. So there's a series. I've written some apps, Windows Phone app, app for babies, Baby Smash. Open some more, open source now. Make the Spanish version. I have some books. I'm working on a book with my wife. I have a podcast, a couple of podcasts. I've also written and done a movie, small movie, 1 hour, 2 hours, called Get Involved in Tech. You can get this for free, totally free. And this talks about becoming a social developer, how you can learn about GitHub, learn about blogs, Twitter, Stack Overflow, improve your resume by becoming a social developer, not a regular developer. So Get Involved in Tech. It's free. I made a deal with Pluralsight company. They give it for free. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to sign up. So why do I do all this stuff? Why do I do all this stuff? Because I don't know. I have to. I must dance. I don't know if I'm any good, but I know I must. So I do my best. It makes me happy. When I went to Microsoft, they said I was a sellout. And it made me so sad. But somehow I have found a way to console myself, to make myself feel better. Here is me before Microsoft. Here's me after Microsoft. It's the same guy. When I had, one time when I had hair before, some people thought I was this guy. So I was signing autographs on the screen. He's an Irish guy. I don't know how this one translates. A person who asks for advice, then does the opposite. Don't be an asshole. So take the advice. It's pretty good advice. But all right. In the past, this famous actor was not famous. He had a TV show in America. Okay, and he went to talk to this man, who was very famous. He had a show called Columbo. So the not famous actor asks the famous actor, how do you write a movie script? Because he wanted to write a movie script. Thank you. He says, well, you get some paper, you put it in a typewriter, and you type fade in, and then you keep typing. That's the trick. And of course, Nike turned this into just do it. That's what you have to do, is simply do it, right? You have to make it happen. How do you scale yourself? Well, it turns out that the less stuff that you do, the more of it you can do. Think about that for a second. If you do nothing, you can do it infinitely. You can do unlimited nothing. Yeah? But if you do one really, really hard thing and someone says, okay, that was great, do that a million times, you can't do it. That's a really good quote. I'm going to make that a quote. There you go. That's now a famous quote. All right, the amount of information in the world has changed. There was a time in the past when you could literally know everything, right? Several thousand years ago, you go to the big library, the only library, you read the only book, and then you know everything. But now, the world looks more like this. And everything says 1,000 plus. And we think we can know everything. You think you can know all the C#, all the F#, all the Python, all the clouds. And the information keeps coming. And all it does is make us feel bad about ourselves. In the 80s and 90s, when I started, there were two books. Do you remember these books? Those were the only books. There was no internet. There was no help. The information that you needed was in one of these two books, or you would die. There's nowhere to ask a question. You want to ask a question, you have to write a letter. Send it in the mail. But in this world today, A third of your day is being wasted by interruptions. Interruptions. You're trying to run. You're trying to sprint in a race. And someone is saying, what? I'm running. I'm busy. People are interrupting you constantly. Meetings. Horrible, horrible meetings that go on forever and then end. And we go, was that the meeting? Are we not, did we, no agenda? Okay. And we do that day after day after day. So we start missing deadlines at our jobs. We start feeling like a failure. And here's what happens, and here's the danger sign. I'm going to work late to catch up. Just today, just going to work late tonight because it's a busy time. You know, April, May, June time, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, it's a busy time. You know, November, December, January, February, March. Just this small time is busy, and then I will spend more time with the children. Right? No. And you have a danger of death by failing. But you hope it will be okay. Hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a plan that will save you. Taking action is. So, I give this talk all over the world. And I've given it in Egypt and in Poland. And I don't even know where this place is. And I talk about two different words, and I translate these words into the local language. Not because you can't understand me, you can, but because they're subtle words. They're subtle words in any language, they're subtle words in English. But I'm going to tell you about these two words and tell you that they're completely different. The first one is effectiveness. And you all seem to have two possible words that could mean that one. I think that one feels better, but locals told me this one is a good word. But you have two already, so things are complicated. Effectiveness is picking the right goal. It's being goal-oriented. And I know you love goals. Doing right things. What is the thing I'm going to do? What should I work on today? This is to be effective. Efficiency is the other word. They're not the same word. But sometimes, in some languages, they translate to the same word. Completely identical same word. This is doing things in an economical way. Not picking a direction to run. That's effective. Running really well in some direction. That's efficient. Make a difference? You could be doing the totally wrong thing. Really well. This is not good. This is process-oriented. Once we've picked what we're going to do, can we do it well? I looked up Google Translate, which I know is garbage. I know someone told me that Google Translate makes me sound like a Spanish baby. I'm sorry. But I noticed, it's important to point out, I put in effectiveness. It translated it into effectiveness or efficiency. So I want to point out that I'm seeing people argue with each other. Well, yeah, I could see where it is kind of a weird word. It is. This is not only in Spanish. It's in dozens of languages. Here's how I look at it. There's your photograph to take. Effectiveness is doing the right thing, doing the correct thing. Efficiency is doing it right, doing it correct. You see the difference? It's subtle. But once you get that, it's going to completely change your perspective on how to decide what to do. Doing the right things and doing things right. And now you'll know a little bit more about English and how to say that. It's pretty good. I show this to native English speakers, and they go, oh, yeah, you're right. That is hard. So let's break them down, shall we? This is being really effective. Is he effective right now? I mean, that's amazing right there. He's like, that's super cool. If the ball wasn't there, if the ball was maybe over here, that would be so cool. But then I realized the ball's going that way. He may have made a mistake, okay? That's being ineffective. He has done something amazing, but he picked the wrong direction to go. All right, so how do you decide? You got all this information that's coming into your life, all this information, and it needs to be triaged. Notice that I say triage. What is this in Spanish? Similar? Yeah? Same word? Is this word different than to sort or to sift? When we think about triage in English, when I think about the word triage, I think about battle, like in the army. And then all the people are injured on the battlefield. And we have to say, are you okay? You okay? You dead? Sorry. Get off the battlefield. I have to help this person. This is a triage tag, or what we call a toe tag. You put it on the body. They're very, very limited choices. Dead. Going to die. Maybe not going to die. He's fine. Four things. There's not a whole form to fill out. We're not going to go and fill out a paperwork. We just want to know, what are we going to do? 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 This person is injured. Let's do something. Why don't we do that to our work? So David Allen from Getting Things Done says that there's three kinds of work. There's predefined work. This is work you set up ahead of the time. There's work that appears. This is interrupting work. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Do this work. But then there's also the work that is defining work, deciding what to work on. Think about your meetings. Think about your week. And ask yourself when the last time you had a meeting with yourself to think about what you're going to work on. No one does that. No one does that. People either work on things they were given, or they get interrupted, and they work on that. And they never really sit down and decide consciously, let's define some work, let's think about what we're going to work on. And the way that we get the work out of our way in order to make time is we triage it, we sort it, we sift through the work. Do it. If you can do it in 2 minutes, do it. If you can drop it, saying no is very powerful. Drop it. Delegate it. You do it. Defer it. Do it later. Those are the things you do when things come into your life. Now, when I say inbox, I don't mean email inbox. I mean your life inbox. A bill, electrical bill, this inbox came in the mail. Phone call, Skype, anything that is coming into your life. So if we then take the 7 habits of highly effective people, and we take the quadrants from Stephen Covey, and we apply David Allen to those, this axis is really urgent, right? So not urgent, very urgent. Not important, very important. If something is both urgent and important, pregnant wife, house is on fire, right? The child fell into a well. You know, those things are both urgent and important. Server is down, maybe. Things that are not urgent, not on fire, not currently on fire, but very important, you can actually decide when to do that until the fire starts, and then it becomes both. Here's the part that's important. If it's not urgent and it's not important, don't do it. Just don't. So let's put some things here. This is a crisis. Crises go up here. Preparing goes over here. Trivia. Little trivia things. It takes that energy, that strength inside yourself to dump these things and free up time for these things. But look at the difference between interruptions and preparation. Interruptions are not important necessarily. They feel important. I need you to get right on this. I need you to handle this. Can you stop what you're doing and help me? Well, wait. I mean, it feels really good to be wanted. I'm glad you came to me. But is this important? What I'm doing a minute ago was important. Just because you're really intense doesn't make it important. But feeling important happens. Urgency makes you feel important. And then we have bosses that are like, oh, you know, I'm very busy. I'm very important. And I'm doing so many things. I just don't have time right now. I really respect a boss who can have lunch with me. A peaceful, calm lunch. I know you like a 4 or 5 hour lunch. Because it shows that they're not being busy just to be busy. They have things handled, right? So here's some of the things in my life. Most email feels urgent, but it really isn't. It feels urgent because it just arrived. And you feel important when it shows up. But you have to look at those emails and decide what's important. This is a rat with an electrical probe in his brain. And when he pushes this button, it will stimulate the brain and make the rat feel good about himself. It will stimulate him, make him feel better, like drugs. Okay? And each time he pulls this lever, he gets a refresh feeling, a feeling of, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. What is the, where are we in this diagram? He just has to pull to refresh to have a sense of well-being, a sense that I'm okay, I'm important. Oh, a like, someone likes me. Oh, I feel better. Did that like make me any money? Did that like get me home to my kids? Did that pay off my house? It did none of those things. But I'm on that drug anyway. This is this joke is not going to work, but I'm just warning you ahead of time. In America, do you know about this idea of when Jesus has only 2 footprints, right? Why is there only the footprints of Jesus? Because he's carrying you? No, it's because he unfollowed you on Twitter. Because you tweet too much. He doesn't want to follow you on Twitter. The internet works. You like that? Thank you. The internet works because of flow control. Packets get dropped. The internet retries. The email doesn't go out, so it sits in the outbox, and then it tries again. Packets get dropped. TCP/IP. Packets get dropped. And that's okay. It's always been like that. It doesn't always feel like the internet is dropping packets, but the system works. Sometimes systems are fault tolerant. So communication itself is fault tolerant. Sometimes dropping the ball, not doing the job, is the right answer. I was tired this morning. Did you see me? After I came off the stage, it takes a lot of energy to do that. It may look natural to stand up here and do the keynote, but I was destroyed. I'm going to use big words. I was shattered this morning. I had to sit down and think to myself, am I going to have a heart attack? Because I was on for 45 minutes. So I had to go to ask the experts afterwards, right? I didn't go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you wanted to ask me a question. I said no, because I knew for my health that I needed a nap. I'm an adult, and I needed a nap. And that's okay. I dropped the ball because it was the right thing to do. I got here at midnight. Did you know that? I didn't get here yesterday. I didn't get here last week. That whole north-south time zone change is killing me. There's no change of times, but I feel that there is, so I'm very tired. So I needed a nap, and now I'm able to talk to you here. I dropped it. Unless you are juggling a chainsaw, which is very important, so don't drop it. Here is a man surfboarding on a crocodile. Just making sure you're paying attention. This is a tough one. I have not figured out how to translate this. Psychic weight. This is the pressure that you feel between your eyes that a job needs to be done. And it's weighing on you. It can be go and buy milk at the store while I'm trying to work on some code. For me, it was we have a thing called the DVR, the digital video recorder, TiVo. Do you have TiVo? TiVo is amazing. It records any show, yeah? It was a gift from God. He came with the Ten Commandments, then he got the TiVo, and he said, you can record any show. And I was like, that's amazing. So then this gift, though, started to hurt me because the shows would start to pile up. And I would have a conversation with my wife, and I would say, all right, if we put the children to bed early and we just watch TV from 8 o'clock until 3 in the morning, then we can catch up and get those shows out of the way. And we had an entire season of, like, The Wire on HBO, you know, and it's like one episode becomes 10 episodes, and then it's just like the whole season, and then you own the DVDs. I've never seen The Wire. I've never seen that show. It's a great show, I'm sure. But I needed to drop TiVo out of my life. TV wasn't making me any more money, wasn't giving me more time with my kids. TV didn't make me a better programmer. But I love TV. So I'm going to talk later about how I found a way to fit TV back in my life. But I dropped the TiVo because it was psychic weight in my head. So I want to be effective. I want to think about what are the things in my life that matter to me. And more importantly, how do I have a day where at the end of the day, I don't feel bad about myself? This is what we don't talk about as programmers. You go to work, you check your email first thing. And every day we do this. We wake up, we're happy. You're only in traffic for 2 hours in Lima. It's a great day, only 2 hours of traffic. So nice. Then you check your email, and then somehow it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you don't know what happened. And you're like, oh, it's time for lunch. But then you come back at six, and then you really start feeling like you can work now. Like, yeah, I really got my I'm going, I'm feeling good, and then it's time to go home. You put the kids to bed, and then you stay up and you do email until 2 in the morning, and then you do it all again the next day, and you tell yourself that it's okay, that you're going to get promoted, and that your boss doesn't know that you have no idea what you're doing, and you feel bad because you have an image in your mind of all the 25 things you're going to get done that week, and you get none of them done. And this is a cycle of pain. And we don't talk about it, and you should. After this, I want you to talk to your friends about it. I don't want you to get 25 things done. I want you to get 3 things done. What is a really great day where you do 3 amazing things? You have to have a vision. Monday, have a vision. Here are the 3 things I'm going to do this week. And then what are the 3 things that I'm going to do each day to support the 3 things that I do this week? And how do those 3 things add up to 3 things that I do this year? 3 is a great number because it's easy to remember. If you need a list, you have too many things. I want you to try to get those things done, or at least one or two of them, before noon. And think about how you're going to feel at noon when you're already doing great. I got 2 things done at noon. I'll give you a couple of techniques in a little bit how to do that. You call it Monday vision, Friday reflection. So Monday, you decide what you're going to do. And Friday, you look back and you think about, did I do those things? Well, I did 2 of those things. Why did I not work on one? Well, the server was on fire. But I'm going to not beat myself up. I'm not going to feel sad. I'm going to start again on Monday with another vision. And I'm going to try to set myself up for success. Don't try to be busy, though. This is not about busy. This is about getting stuff done. Being busy is a form of laziness. It's easy to be busy. Just try to do everything. Busyness is running around, just doing stuff without thinking about the stuff that you're doing. But being creative and making something is the opposite of just hanging out. It's amazing how often people hang out with their friends before work, after work, lunchtime, and they complain about having not enough time. I tease you about the long lunches and stuff, but we all do that. But the person who didn't go to lunch, the person who took time and stopped answering email, the person whose phone is on airplane mode, they're probably out there being creative and making something. They're putting their heads down, and they're running. They're sprinting. And please stay off the internet, because someone is wrong on the internet. Are you coming to bed? I can't. This is important. What? Someone is wrong on the internet. It's his job to fix that. A lot of my coworkers argue on the internet. Have you ever seen me argue about anything on the internet? It frees up a lot of time. You're never going to win. You've just, you know, if you argue with someone, a random anonymous person on the internet, so what? You convinced a Simpsons character to vote for one political party instead of another. You don't even know he was a Simpsons character. So, efficiency. These are all of the data streams in my life. Your life is different. Twitter, Facebook, voicemails. Here's some homework for you. I want you to sort them, signal versus noise. What is signal? What is the high important thing? Noise, what is the packets that you can drop? Okay? Here's mine. Again, my list is not your list. I am a community person, so the phone is important to me. But for some programmers, the phone is not important. Work email is important to me, more than personal email. Twitter is not so important, and my TiVo is not important. When I become stressed out and work needs to get done, I draw a line depending on the level that I'm stressed out, and I drop everything below that line. That's how you free up time. Now, lots of people say that the solution is email filters. But moving email around is just shuffling cards. It's, you know, rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. The boat's going down. Well, hang on, the chairs don't look nice. I'm going to straighten them. This is my email inbox, and I'm going to share with you the one email rule that changed my life. Inbox has 82 items here. Inbox CC. That's where people CC'd me. As soon as I changed that rule, look what happened. I had 240 emails. Now I have 82. Because I chose CC, carbon copy, right, to mean FYI. For your information. It's like, hey, Scott, just wanted to let you know. If you email me something and you want it done, and you CC me, I'm not going to do it. Because I only check that a couple of times a week. Seriously. And my boss didn't like that, because one time he sent me an email and he CC'd me, and he expected me to do the work. But I didn't do it. So now I've trained my boss. You need to put me on the two line. Only took one time. Just took one time. Notice I have a third inbox. Again, my job is different than your job. External. That means people who don't work for Microsoft. Notice that it's empty. Why? Because your emails are more important than people at Microsoft's emails. So those have been answered. Now, if your job is a support person, maybe you have your support tickets inbox. If you're a developer, maybe you have your bugs in a separate box. Notice that there's only three, though. More than that is too much. You can search for everything else. But this one here, the idea that email that is FYI, for your information, is different than directly to you, changed my email life. I also have a search box. This is a search box in Outlook that will look for any mail from my boss, his boss, her boss, my boss's boss's boss. So I say three up. So there's two Scotts and a Julia up the line, okay? And then I have big ass mail, which is just like big attachments, because I don't want to lose my space. Here's some homework for you. This is really hard. People have trouble with this, okay? Don't check email in the morning. It's really hard. It's such an obvious thing to do, isn't it? You get to work, you sit down, you check email. The only thing that email is good for in the morning is to time travel to the afternoon. That's what email does. It wastes time. So don't check it. Schedule on your calendar time for email. Put a half an hour at lunchtime or 1 o'clock. Check email. If you respond to email, they're going to respond to you. And that's just going to make more email. So you have to ask yourself, how long should your emails be? Do I write a page? Am I writing a book? Or should I just walk next door and talk to them because they are in the next cubicle? You are going to teach people how to treat you. I only had to not answer my boss that one time, and I've taught him how to treat me. So here's the question. Do you answer email at 2 in the morning on a Sunday night? Is that your job? I mean, seriously, if it's your job, if you're the person on call to answer email at 2 in the morning, answer email. But if you do that because you're worried about your job or you're afraid that your boss will fire you, you have a really bad job. And you've just taught your boss that I'm the one that answers email at 2 in the morning on a Sunday. Don't put more energy into things you don't want more of. If you want less email, write less email. That doesn't mean that you're a less effective worker. It means you're going to be effective in different ways. It's really sad as a programmer to feel like you're a programmer whose job it is to delete email. That's not why I got into this job. So why is this important? Because you need to conserve your keystrokes. Because you have a finite number of keystrokes left in your hands before you die. Anybody here 25? Any 25-year-olds? Okay, so you're 25, and you type, how fast do you type? Pretty fast, he says. Give me a number, 100 words a minute? Seriously, young people, man. Faster than that? So assuming that you live to be 90, that's 65 years left of typing. You can type 124 books or 700 computer programs or 2 million tweets or 37,000 love letters. Notice that your keystroke number is going down. We're just going to all watch this young man die. He's only got 374 million keystrokes. It doesn't matter how fast the computer gets. You're not getting any more. Yeah, see? So what are you going to do with those keystrokes? When you put keystrokes into an email, where do they go? My opinion? They go in the trash. You seem like a nice person, but I don't know you. Let's say you email me after this with a great question. He emails me an amazing question. I don't know this guy. Am I going to give him the gift of my keystrokes? He's a, you know, he's a good-looking guy, but does he deserve 5,000 of my keystrokes? 5,000 keystrokes. That could be a novel or a blog or something, right? But he's a nice guy. I want to help him out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a blog post because his question was awesome. And then I will send him a link to the blog post. And then I'll die. And because, you know, it happens sometimes. But then my keystrokes will live on. Every additional page view is 5,000 of my keystrokes that just got copied. Don't put your keystrokes in email. Literally, put them anywhere but email. Put them anywhere with a link. SharePoint, OneNote, Word, a blog, Medium, WordPress, anywhere. People email me all the time. Oh, Scott, I love your blog. That's how they sound. Oh, Scott, how do you find the time? I'm not doing email. Because any good question deserves a blog post. Because my blog is a frequently asked questions for the last 14 years of my life. So anytime someone asks you a question and you go, oh, I hate this question, I always get this question. Send them a link to the answer. Put it in your frequently asked questions, your knowledge base at work, your SharePoint, your OneNote, anywhere but email. And if you find yourself scrolling in an email, it's time to find that person and talk to them in person. So feel free to send me questions. I will send you a link to a blog post, which is going to get me more page views. And that's how you get more keystrokes back. Okay? That website was called Keys Left, keysleft.com. I would encourage you to check it out and find out how many books you have that you have not written. He had 100 and something books. So remember that the argument that there's no time doesn't hold. You have time for hundreds of books. There's a great website called Five Sentences. They took over Spain. Five Sentences. It's a policy that all email responses will be less than 5 sentences. Sometimes people put this at the bottom of their email to tell you, that's why this email is short. I'm not rude, but anything more than 5 sentences is too much. Or maybe 3. You put whatever word that you want here. It might be 2 sentences. I don't use email to solve problems or do business. I use email to set up meetings, short, crisp, in-person meetings, Skype calls. Then I get things done. Email is where keystrokes go to die. So for your stuff, the stuff in your life, find a trusted source and put your stuff there. I went looking for a file that I had from 2007, and I had no problem finding it because I have everything in Dropbox and email. There is literally nowhere else for it to be. I've got 10 years, 64 gigabytes of stuff in cloud storage, backed up in 3 different places. So, I don't know, where did I put that file? It only can be in one place. Find a trusted source and put stuff there. Pick one location for your stuff, for a medium, right? For a medium is for a kind of thing, for your bills, for your emails, for your codes. Keep it available to you. Make it easy. I've got Dropbox on my phone. It can be OneNote. It can be whatever. Pick one. Don't have 6. And keep it open. Think about scheduling work sprints. You know, like Scrum. Do y'all do Scrum? We do Scrum for projects, but how many people do a Scrum for their life? Here is Pee Wee Herman saving some snakes from a fire. Just making sure you're awake. Ah, the snakes. Do you know what the Pomodoro technique is? Yeah, Pomodoro is fantastic. A Pomodoro is a unit of time, 25 minutes. Do you know why it's 25 minutes? Because you need 5 minutes to pee. True. It's a unit of time. And if I say, yeah, this job that you want me to do, it looks like about 4 Pomodoros. 4 half-hour segments, about 2 hours with breaks in between. You want to do a Pomodoro, and a Pomodoro is focusing on one thing for 25 minutes. That's another homework for you. Sit down and do one thing for 25 minutes. You don't get to Alt-Tab. You don't get to go to Stack Overflow. You have to do one thing. I'm asking you to sprint. You're not going to be able to do it. It's hard. It's really, really hard. You're going to interrupt yourself, or you're going to have people interrupt you. Skype will tell you it's someone's birthday today. Something's going to happen that's going to pop up and go, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. What am I doing? That little pause costs you time. Those pauses add up in a day, and you might lose a half an hour or an hour of your time. See, look, I just interrupted myself in the middle of my talk, and now I'm playing solitaire. And then my boss, an external interruption, is showing up. Yeah, but this is important.
Okay, well, it needs to go fast.
All right, well, have a seat and relax.
No.
External interruptions like this guy. That's you, by the way. Things that are important will find their way to you many times. Okay? Don't worry if you miss something. If the server is on fire, they'll tell you. They really will. They'll page you, they'll call you. All right, Last thing I want to remind you of is that multitasking is a lie. The optimal number of threads in any system is one. You cannot multitask. So here's an example of bad multitasking.
That's what I'm going to say.
Look at his arm.
What if you say, that's crazy, dude.
We have a word for that where I come from. Those are called organ donors. So if you need a kidney, you can call that guy. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today, and I'll talk to you all later.